This is Hi-Fi Radio with Wolfgang Klein and Jack Hardim. Toronto's news, today's talk, 640 Toronto.
Welcome to the weekend, and thank you for spending some time with Jack and I. Hi-Fi Radio, it is a show about money. Work, save, invest, repeat. Work, save, invest, repeat. Work, save, invest, repeat. Yes, that's what you must do for about 25 or 30 years. And good golly, I asked Canada Pension Plan for my statement of contributions. I'm going to be unveiling the scam that is taking place here in Canada to all of us that we don't talk about. I'm running some math for you folks and talking about that. But yes, work, save, invest. And I said 25 years, but good golly, I've already been working for 40 years. Now, I, of course, like most of you, started working when I was in high school, a little part-time job at Loblaw. But, you know, it's remarkable when you pull up the statement of contributions to your pension, you see when you actually first began working. It takes me back, but also says to myself, boy, does time ever fly. And, you know, if you're Warren Buffett, you know, you're getting long in the tooth, but I'll tell you, Warren Buffett is going to make a lot of money this year. What do you think, Jack? How much money do you think Warren Buffett's net worth, although it's all been donated to earmarked for charity, but the charity will benefit. How much of a benefit do you think Buffett, Jack's got his pen out here, this year alone? What's your guess?
Sorry, how much money he's going to make? His net worth is going to increase by this year?
Yeah.
Well, you asked me a couple weeks ago. I'm going to stand by my number. Actually, I might increase it a little bit. $13
billion? $13 billion. Yeah.
I'm taking 10% of what he's got. So yeah, that sounds about it.
But isn't that incredible? To be able to, you know, see your net worth increase by $13 billion in 12 months. Okay, a billion a month. Oh, my God. $250 million a week. $50 million a day. That's the math. You want to get there? Turn up your radio. I'm delighted to introduce Richard Davis. He's been on the show many a times. He's a former analyst with Canaccord. He's a very, very dear friend of mine, an absolute sweetheart and a genius. And, you know, when I tell industry folk on Bay Street that Richard Davis is joining us on our show, they get very excited. Rob Young, our head of research, a good big fan of Richard Davis. Our friend
Vitaly from TD. Yes.
Big fan of Richard Davis. And Vitaly, Richard, as we took him out for lunch once, and he's a friendly competitor, he said, oh, my God, you know Richard Davis. Oh, my God, that man trained me. Oh, my God, he's the smartest man in research. Oh, my God. He's under 30, of course, so he likes, oh, my God. but kudos to you, Richard, you know.
Thank you.
Your reputation precedes you. And I'm flattered, honestly.
Always happy to be on here. Talking to my pals.
Yeah, that's nice. Well, Richard is in Boston. He was with Unity Software. Last we spoke to him, it's a graphic imaging, really cool software used by virtually anyone doing video and graphics these days. But since then, he's moved on to now become Vice President of Strategic Finance for a company called UKG. It's a private company that, well, gobbled up a couple of public companies that Richard Davis actually followed, one being Kronos and the other being Ultimate Software. Give us, if you don't mind, Richard, that's quite fascinating because, you know, we always hear about the next IPO. And when there's, you know, there's a big brand IPO coming to market, people get excited. But this is the reverse of that. This is that public company going private, which is contrary to what, you know, growth and size and scale and public markets are all about. Explain that to us.
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, the company's a combination of two companies. One is a company called Kronos, which is, think of Kronos as a company that helps you schedule your workforce, and then Ultimate Software. So Kronos was taken private in 2007, and Ultimate Software was taken private in 2019, and that ultimately basically helps you pay, manage, and promote your employees. So the combination hopefully it's something like peanut butter and jelly or whatever good combination you want to call it.
That's a good one.
Two kind of complement each other. So that's really what the company does. It's relatively large. It's a north of $4 billion in revenue. So it's one of the largest privately held software companies in the world. And so we're kind of trying to build a good company with good corporate culture and those kind of things. And who knows, someday maybe it goes public, but, no plans to do so right now. But right now it's I'm learning a lot about the debt markets because it's funded by, various forms of term debt and things like that. So I'm kind of checking that box.
You know, it's interesting. Did you see that story that was sent to us by our branch manager 2 days ago, Jack, Kevin Vandermeer?
Yeah, Procter & Gamble.
Go ahead. You read in the weeds for more than I did. Talk about that and how that part is and what Rich is talking about, please.
I say companies now are issuing a lot of corporate debt because spreads, and I go into the weeds here a little bit, how much government debt or the debt costs over government is relatively cheap. So right now, investors are seeking long-term, long duration because they expect rates to fall. So companies of the likes of Johnson & Johnson, Procter & Gamble, high-quality businesses are issuing a lot of debt because there's an appetite for it in the market.
And so how are you finding the debt market respond to your needs for more capital, Richard?
Well, that's exactly kind of what we're doing. You know, right now we're in the middle of issuing some term debt to replace some debt that we had. So it's not incremental debt, but that's exactly right. And, you know, so far so good, but
yeah. And what kind of a spread then? Right. If I may, I want to go back to Jack's term and to help the audience learn something here about something called spread, risk. And what that means is the government debt is the safest of debt, and that's as low as the rate can get. So if once you leave government debt and you enter anything else, provincial, municipal, corporate, high rate, high yield, et cetera, the spread widens, you pay more. No different than a second mortgage and a third mortgage and car loan and stuff like that. So what kind of a spread is a company like yours having to absorb over government debt when you're looking to borrow some money, Richard?
Yeah, usually those things, it ranges between kind of 2 and 3% above government rates, depending on the duration, right? So if you're doing a five-year deal, you know, a five-year duration, it would be the five-year debt, you know, the five-year government bond rate plus 2 to 3%.
So you're talking about five-year debt around 6.5% or so, 7%?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, exactly.
Huh. So the debt market is an incredible market. It's opaque. It lacks liquidity. It lacks transparency. It's old school the way it operates. It's not a true market. You know, bond desks will hold paper. They less now than ever. And it is to access the debt market. The Canadian debt market, Richard, is beyond thin. There is no Canadian debt market beyond the government. And you're laughing, but you're right. I guess the biggest debt market is in the United States, isn't it? The global debt market, corporate-wise.
Yes.
It'd be the United States. For
sure.
So
they like their debt. And
they do debt. You guys do debt well.
But it is a relatively inefficient, opaque market. And as you said, in Canada, like in 2020, when COVID hit, I'm going to say the government bond market even shut down. So it was very difficult to find buyers and sellers match. Yeah. So trading was difficult. The debt that you're looking at, Richard, is it variable rate debt? Because a lot of the time private equity funds their debt financing through variable rate debt. And is that the case with you expecting rates to potentially fall?
No, on this one, we're just extending and it's a fixed rate in this case. I think, you know, we probably have some variable rate, but most of it's fixed.
So Richard, if you're resetting, again, I just want people to, because everyone at home who has a mortgage is worried about refinancing their mortgage. They were getting it at 1.5%. Now they have to pay, you know, in and around 5 or 6%, or even higher. What kind of change of rate is the corporate world witnessing today? Your previous five-year paper, what was it issued at versus what would it cost to finance that debt today is, I guess, my question.
Yeah, I don't know specifically what it is, but I do know that the new rate is lower than it was, right? So, you know, the thesis there is rates have come down. And then for the buyers, they're looking at it like, okay, well, this is sounds like an interesting opportunity. And if inflation does start to, you know, come down, then this is a way for them to lock in a reasonably good return in a company that, you know, I'm biased, but I think is, you know, very stable and plenty of cash flow and all those good things that would make for a good credit. So it's kind of hopefully a win-win. You know, we get lower rates, the buyers of the debt get a decent return, and everyone goes away happy.
Yeah, it's amazing because the world of human resources has so radically changed, Richard, since COVID. The demands by employees has never been higher. The amount of flexibility and power an employee has today has never been higher. Just phenomenal. And so being able to better manage and service and lead is obviously very important. That's obviously what your company is doing a very, very good job of. I want to stay in the debt market for a second. I was just chatting with Jack on the way to the studio about, you know, mortgages themselves and how we spoke about high, big, fat mortgages 2 years ago, where the backdrop was real estate's at an all-time high, garbage homes are $1 million. The only saving grace is you can finance them at 1.5% or 2%. So when you make your very first mortgage payment, the amount of principal that you are paying off is about 75% of your overall monthly payment. Richard, you remember, I know you do, that when you bought your first home, probably the same time I bought my first home and interest rates were double digit, for the first 5 years of the amortization schedule, 90% of your money serviced debt. In other words, it just went to pay back interest. Well, guess what? That flipped around when interest rates went to zero, but we're almost right back there now. Today, if you take out a new mortgage with a 25-year amortization schedule in the first five-year period, 75% of your monthly payment is going towards servicing debt, 25% towards building equity. If interest rates come down about what was Drew saying, about 1.5%, 2%, Jack?
Yeah, down to about the 3% level.
If we get back to the 3% level, we'd be at a point where your first monthly mortgage payment is 50-50, half interest, half principal. But it was incredible, Richard. 2 years ago, with interest rates being at 1.5%, how you were building equity with your very first mortgage payment to the tune of about 90%. So although your overall purchase price was very high, you were at least building equity from day one. Whereas when I bought my first home, I wasn't. I was just basically servicing debt. We're talking to Richard Davis, VP of Strategic Finance for a very interesting software tech company that's about human resource management. The company's called UKG. Richard is in Boston. He's a tech analyst, formerly a partner with Jack and I at Canaccord. He moved on to greener pastures, but continues to be a very, very smart man, obviously, and a good friend of ours, a friend of Hi-Fi Radio. It's a show about money. It's a show to help you build wealth, work, save, invest, repeat for 25 years, and then you get to play, pay, and invest. Yes, when you retire, you get to play, but then you got to pay. But you got to also continue to invest your money. That's what this show is all about, helping you through the life cycle. Isn't that fun? Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere. There's more Hi-Fi Radio in a moment on 640 Toronto.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
Welcome back. We're going to take a trip to Boston, hang out with our former analyst in the land of technology, Mr. Richard Davis. Richard, Jack just pointed out to me about a year ago, you sent Jack and I an email that got Jack extremely excited for very good reason. It was an email on artificial intelligence, so probably one of the most detailed first email we ever got on artificial intelligence, courtesy of you. In November, December of this year, we brought a psychic on the show for fun, good fun, intuition expert, she called herself, and her intuition is AI is going to be extremely hot this year. So let's talk about the world of AI, if we may have a little bit of fun with it, Richard.
Sure.
What's going through your mind with AI as you take in and digest all the current information available to you right now? What do you make of it, i.e. and the potential of it in the next 3 to 5 years?
Yeah, so it's funny that you ask. So over the the holiday season in December, instead of watching Oppenheimer and whatever, Flower Moon or whatever it is, 6 hours of stuff, I took 3 classes on Coursera on prompt engineering for large language models. So I actually, because I would hear all these people say, oh, AI is going to do this, that, or the other. And I suspected, correctly, I think, 75% of those people never even use it. So what the answer to your question is, it's fascinating. And so think of it, really what it is it's like an intern for you who has no object permanence. And what I mean by that is you have to be very explicit at the questions you're going to ask this, the large language model. And the problem is after you stop that process and then come back the next day, this intern doesn't remember anything you said before. So it's super helpful. It can summarize things quickly. It can write chunks of text, but the text is not great. I mean, it's maybe 70% okay, and you could kind of edit it, but it's I think it really the way to think of it is it's like an efficiency tool. So it's an intern that's pretty smart, but you have to be very, very specific.
You know, it's funny, a former broadcaster and tech enthusiast as well, Michael Hainsworth, he's from BNN. He may have interviewed before on BNN, and he uses it, but he does the exact opposite. He first writes his material, then he gives it to, I guess, ChatGPT, has it edit it, and as it edits it, it learns his style so that the next time he gives it to chat, it gets better. So exactly, like you said, it's his intern that just really expedites process and gives him more efficiencies. But beyond that, Richard, truly 5 years, 10 years, where do you see AI being most incorporated into our new lives?
Yeah, I mean, I think what it's really good at is looking through all sorts of data and pulling out relationships and things that you and I might not have seen. So that's one thing it can do. And two, it can do very basic perfunctory stuff that's just a pain in the neck to do, like a cut and paste a bunch of stuff. It can do that for you. So it'll make you at the low end more efficient. And at the high end, you know, you may ask it, you say, here's a bunch of data. And you could say, here's my suppositions. I think it's one of three things that's happening here. But it could go through all that data and find, you know, what you would call kind of orthogonal relationships that you might not have thought of. And so I think that's what it is. So it's the creativity and the perfunctory stuff. So it's kind of, if you think of it, it's almost like a barbell. But the kids that think they can use it for, oh, it'll do all my homework for me, are going to be sadly mistaken.
Jack, didn't you speak to a professor at a college who spoke about...
He recognizes them right away. So as soon as he sees that it's done by ChatGPT, they get a big zero. Thank you.
Exactly. But
one thing that Richard said there, he said it's sort of it's an intern or someone that's starting out in their career. So the difficulty that you have now is people gain experience at the beginning of their career. They do these, I'm going to say, menial tasks, right, as they develop knowledge and they develop experience. So ChatGPT, I see it, not just ChatGPT, but AI in general, replacing these repetitive tasks that typically people do. People learn through those as well. So that's a challenge for people entering into the labor force.
So Jack, you and I have a meeting coming up. A lady reached out to me on LinkedIn and said, are you interested in learning how AI can help you better pick stocks? Gadah. Okay, I said. And so back and forth we went. But the meeting that she set up with me ended up being a Zoom meeting, which I didn't know because I'm old and want to just do a regular face-to-face meeting. So that delayed it by a week, but she's coming into our office. And I'm curious, Richard, what she's going to propose to me that her AI tool can do effectively in terms of my job, which is, you know, to screen for great companies that are going up in price and get out of problematic companies that are going down in price. What's your thought? How do you think I can use AI in my world? And do you know of anyone who's packaged it well enough to make it user-friendly, Richard, for a man on Bay Street?
Yeah, so answer the back end of your question, no, I don't know. I'm sure someone will, I suppose, but at this point, no. I don't know of anyone that's really come up with any great ideas. I mean, look, I remember when I first got in the business, I remember asking one of my companies I was following, I go, like, how come you don't pay as much attention to me as you do to these old guys that have been following you for a long time? And the CEO said, he goes, Richard, you can be as incisive as anyone at your age, but you can't have as much insight. And the thing that you get over
that.
A long period of time is insight.
I love it.
And I mean, maybe these large language models will get insight. Right now, they're incisive, but I would argue, at least my experience with them, is they're not terribly insightful. So those are
They're very, very brilliant, Richard. And, you know, this is going to take me back to an old story of a boyfriend and girlfriend walking through the streets of Paris, and they came across a street artist, and the husband or the boyfriend said, would you like me to have your portrait drawn? And she said, absolutely. And so the lady sat in front of the artist, and within about 15 minutes, he gave a beautiful sketch of the beautiful lady and handed it to the man and said, how do you like it? He said, absolutely love it. How much? He said, that's 50 francs. He said, 50 francs? It took you 15 minutes. He said, it took me my entire life.
There you go. I love it. Yeah, that's great.
Right? And I say to clients that, you know, Jack and I have never been better at what we do. You know, I've been a businessman for 40 years, and I've been on Bay Street for 22 years, and I'm starting to learn something, Richard. It's beginning. That's how I feel. It's beginning. We've actually built a QAM model in our office, Richard. You'll like this. And if you ever get this back to Toronto, I really want to show this to you.
I'd love to see it.
But Richard, it's working. I kid you not, it is working. We've taken the S&P 500. We've screened it down for capital efficient by capital efficiency factors, mainly EV to EBITDA, simple, and return on invested capital, simple. A couple others as well. I don't give my full recipe on air. So we screened the S&P down to 200 companies. And then from there, we put in to another tool called, it's a momentum tool, SAA charts, which is measuring through point and figure charting relative strength of stock A to stock B. And the stock with the most strength is at the top, and the stock with the least strength is at the bottom. And then, so we're using that as our exit strategy and using a blend as our initial purchase strategy. But, you know, it's taking the emotion out of the trading and following a system, again, 95% is hard to do. But it takes me to the other thing, Richard, you know, we have found the enemy, and it is I. But isn't that the truth often, Richard? I mean, aren't we often the biggest enemy of our success?
Well, it's what's the old line is the best buys are the hardest sells, in the sense that it's hard to convince you. If you feel, you know, nervous when you buy something, it's, you know, perhaps it's the right thing to do. But if everyone else is doing it and it's an easy buy, oftentimes that's the worst time to do it.
So, do you feel the market right now, Richard, is climbing a wall of worry?
Totally.
Yeah. Yep. And that's Jack wrote that in one of our most recent notes to clients, and it really registered with one of our clients. Is making a lot of sense. And he's now parlaying that back into the real estate market, because that real estate market in Toronto is discombobulated. It's just so discombobulated. Tight supply, strong demand, high financing costs, no activity going on, big disparity in terms of price price and offer, or bid and offer, shall I say. Crazy times, Richard. How do you think the year is going to unfold business-wise? And again, you have a new potential, well, no, you do. You have a new president coming to term, and the world thinks it's going to be Mr. Donald Trump. Way to go, Richard.
Well, good news. The good news is, you know, after we vote for him, we don't have to have any more elections, so it'll be great.
You're right. It will be your last election if he gets in. You will not have another election. Oh, goodness. You survived successfully the last round of 4 years with Trump. It's incredible. The world really is scratching its head at that one.
I know. Well, we'll see on that, but shouldn't be too political, but anyway.
Richard, if I may, the war in Ukraine, what's your opinion there? Because technology has been a huge, huge influencer in the Ukrainians standing up against the evil empire, shall I say. Partly that into, you know, the world of AI.
Sure. I mean, look, those it's made it so that what I think they call it asynchronous combat, but it allows you to, you know, a small company, a small country to, or small groups of people to fight off, you know, masses of, you know, tanks coming across the plains, you know, and coming at you. So I think it's changed a lot of things. It has to have awoken China has to be like, man, I don't know if we really want to invade Taiwan if this is what it's going to
be. Well, that's an interesting statement. That's always been one of Jack's burning worries of, you know, what keeps you up at night. Yeah. That one keeps Jack up at night a little bit.
Yeah, me too.
I have a glass of wine, doesn't it?
I will say, Wolf, there's always geopolitics. There's Ukraine, there's Trump, there's concerns about Taiwan. Yeah. There's always something. And if you, we talked about it on the way to the show, Wolf, getting started is one of the most important things you can do as an investor.
Yeah.
And save regularly.
Exactly. We work, save, invest, repeat. Slow, steady, Eddie wins the race. I know who the enemy is. It is I. I can give you 100 reasons right now why not to invest. Guess what? Market's going higher. All right. How about that? Who is right? The market's right. So here we are, Richard. The Dow, new all-time high. The S&P, new all-time high. The NASDAQ, about what, 6% away? So it still has, it will go, I believe. And Toronto, about 10% away. So again, you got these indexes still trying to best their highs, and that's all part of climbing that wall of worry. What about a recession, Richard? Recession or no recession?
I think if anything, it'll be very mild. I doubt it'll even happen. So I think we're on the other side of that hill. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's been segments of the economy that have gone through recessions. You talked about commercial real estate. Well, for sure, they went into a recession.
Oh, yeah. Office? Oh,
you know,
awful.
A lot of the big tech companies in 22 went through at least a stock price recession.
Yeah.
And so now they're, you know, they're all going on their Ozempic diets in terms of headcounts. so we'll see how that plays out.
But tech certainly is hot. Boy, the NASDAQ it's hot. Does it have legs? Does tech have some legs this year?
I mean, I think it should. I think the thing that, and I haven't had much time to do much work on it, but what I would look for is to try to figure out who the next Magnificent Seven are, who the new components of that. Because if you, the reason that like the S&P 500 oftentimes is not a bad thing to own is because it's always recycling, right? So IBM, I'm sure was in the S&P, you know, one of the great companies for a long time, falls out and then a new company comes in. So if you can find those new companies, the ones that are on the cusp, you know, sitting just off stage, that's where I think you can make some money. So decent size cap, and maybe your screen finds those companies as well. But that's kind of what I was thinking. I mean, you know, so that's what I would look for.
Richard Davis, what a man, from Boston, land of tech, well known, so young at heart. We got decades of radio to do with this young man, and I am very excited about that. Thank you very much, Richard.
You're welcome.
We're going to talk ski, maybe C as well, with Wally Crowder's little boy, Glenn Crowder. Glenn Crowder, of course, is now on 640 weekly, talking about travel and ski. And, well, I've known this man for about as long as I've been paying into CPP. How about that? Sci-Fi Radio, show about money. We want you to have lots of it. Turn up your radio and stay tuned. Be right back.
Don't go anywhere. There's more Hi-Fi Radio in a moment on 640 Toronto.
The Colorado Rocky Mountain High. I've seen it rain and fire in the sky. The shadows.
That a beautiful song, eh? Yep, it makes me think of ski. Bon ski, mon ami. It's a show about money. And skiing requires a lot of that. Oh my goodness me, the price of lift tickets today. You want to get around those big pricey lift tickets, there's now this thing called an Icon Pass. Pretty interesting. I'm always leery buying stuff on the net, even when these passes, I don't know if it's legit or not. But anyways, Icon Passes are good, certainly if you travel. And I one day do want to get to Colorado and ski in Aspen. I've not skied Aspen before. I want to feel like Hunter S. Thompson for a few days. And you know, brush shoulders with the Kardashians. Like, you know, they're my kind of people, right? Hey, Jack, can you see me hanging out with the Kardashians? That'd be kind of fun. I gotta get you skiing one day. But no, I'll never play hockey with you. I'll never go on the ice, but you can come skiing with me one day, Jack. But
yeah, I gotta start in the Bunny Hills, Wolf. It's been a
time. You'll be natural. You'll be natural. You'd have no trouble with it. You know, I'm 58. I continue to ski. It's my kids who motivate me to ski now. I'm not as keen as I used to be. I've been skiing for about 45, 50 years. Actually, 53 years, I'd say. I started when I was 4 or 5. I love the sport. Just so passionate about the sport. It's a lot of hit and miss with the conditions of snow. And I know lack of snow in Canada has been a complete bane to the industry this year. Even in Ontario, it's just awful. And Eastern Township's struggling. Whistler, water galore, rain galore. And that's going to affect power prices too, eh, Jack? Lack of mountain runoff will make power prices higher in Alberta and British Columbia. They're going to be importing prices or importing power from the United States. Yeah, the grid, as we go more EV. But this is, every year Warren Miller Films would come to town. I'd watch them at the old, what's it now called? The Sony Center, I think it is. Young and Wellington.
Sony Center.
Yeah. Warren Miller would do his annual film. I used to help him promote that. And it got the ski season started. It was fabulous. And they always spoke about the ski bums. Like a real skier never paid to ski. A real skier got to travel the world, hitchhike around, act like a bum, be a bit of a hippie, and ski for free. Always jealous. Now, I worked in the music business. I used to see concerts for free, but I want the 1-2 punch where I could see music for free and also see and ski for free. Couldn't do it. But I know a guy who could. Yes, he's the little boy of legendary Wally Crowder. Wally Crowder, your parents guaranteed listen to Wally Crowder. You may have listened to Wally Crowder, and iconic voice in Toronto and CFRB for decades. Well, his son you know, apple tree, sort of. I think you had a lot more fun than your dad. Anyway, let me introduce Mr. Glenn Crowder to iFi Radio, who's live from Switzerland. Glenn, thank you and welcome.
You bet. Yeah, well, you hit a number of things right on the head there about lack of snow, all sorts of things. But I'll tell you what, they have a lot of the places have picked up snow now. Now, Whistler, that's a different story. But did you see the post on Facebook or Instagram?
Sorry, your
post in the rain. I couldn't believe it.
Oh yeah, I'm watching your post right now. You are in Switzerland right now. Blue skies, fabulous looking snow, and the 100th anniversary of a Chamonix. I proposed, by the way, to my beautiful bride at the time and wife now, Kathleen, in a Trois-Vallées. Yeah, so that was just a and I remember being, and I'll tell you a funny story about French hospitality. So I'm at the top of Trois-Vallées. It was a, you know, maybe plus 2 degrees, just blue skies, hundreds of people just having a cappuccino, a croissant, a little tart, enjoying life. And I just proposed to my wife. I wanted to get a bottle of champagne, and no service. And I finally saw a waiter halfway across the patio, and I waved to him, you know, trying to get his attention. He just waved back and said, "Hey, bello," and ignored me for another 10 minutes. oh boy, they got it down in spades. So Glenn, how did you do it? You've never worked. I remember hearing you do ski reports. You never worked. I used to hear you doing ski reports with Don Burns on CFNY radio. And Don had so much fun with you. God rest his soul. But you just played your entire life. So that's what I say. You know, your dad, I think, very proud of you. Though he said, I probably said, I wish my son took himself a little more seriously. Oh.
Well, believe me, he had his fun along the way, too. My father was never shy. That's why they called him Mr. Toronto, right? Because he not only had the pulse of the city, he had the pulse of the people. And that's why they love him so much.
They really did.
He's a pretty cool guy. Ben, and you know what? He's my dad. So we listened to him on the radio in the morning, and I knew at 8 o'clock, if the rang is my going to give somebody hell in the family.
Oh, that's funny. All of a sudden, you're breaking up a little bit as on here, Glenn. Telecom in Europe has never been as good as a telecom here in North America. Hey, by the way, you're on 640 with, I guess, Ben Mulrooney. Talk about that show a little bit, what you're up to.
Yeah, Ben, I'll tell you what, I was totally taken back when I listened to Ben, because obviously I've watched his career through, you know, E.T. and all those things, and then obviously Canada AM. The guy is really knowledgeable, and he's really endearing. He's really engaging. And it was just all of a sudden, Mike Van Dixon, our new program director, he said, "Listen, Greg, you want to do something? I've been doing this for 25 years and at another station as well." And he also said, "Listen, it's time maybe we got you over here." So that's how it started, just out of the blue. And I basically just traveled the world, and he knows it. As long as I can concentrate still on the local angle, the local conditions and things, it's still cool. It's a lot of fun, and Ben's great to engage with. He really is.
You know, Glenn, this is one for you, and Jack is all over. Local newspapers. How many local newspapers have gone out of business? And media now is digital, so we're getting the big mean stories around the world jammed to us, so local news no longer is relevant. How are you keeping relevance in local news, Glenn?
Well, yeah, I'll tell you that. Well, if it's a good question, because, you know, I'm keeping in touch with, I know, all resort operators, because when we went through COVID, I've been writing for the Toronto Sun now about 4 years. So when we went through COVID, I went to every resort in Ontario, Southern Ontario, obviously, and did my live stuff, reported on it, not only on the radio, but also the fact I did it in the newspaper. And it's become so popular now in the Toronto Sun. I post weekly, and it now goes across the country on 52 post media websites. And we have 2 million views a day from total. So it's not just me, but it's the whole paper. So there is some sort of connection between web people. They're catching up. They're wondering what's going on. And I can give them some ideas where they can travel and how much fun they can have as well.
Well, it's important when you're spending that kind of money, you want to sort of get it right. The show's Hi-Fi Radio. It is a show about money. Work, save, invest, repeat, and then play, pay, and invest. Yes. Hey, right? And this Mr. Crowder guy, he's been playing and playing and playing and getting paid along the way. Oh, goodness gracious, he's got to figure it out. Got to hang with him a little more. Take a quick break, get back with Hi-Fi Radio and our special guest, Mr. Glenn Crowder. Of course, my right-hand man, Jack Hartle, always by my side, here to help better serve our lovely clients. Quick break, get back to the show. Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere. There's more Hi-Fi Radio in a moment on 640 Toronto.
Welcome back. I guess in the world of skiing, we'd call it a yard sale. Couldn't find that song, so Wipeout worked. Guess that was a surfer tune. Of the era, shall I say, of the very young and athletic and fit and handsome Mr. Glenn Crowder, who is in Switzerland as we speak, has been traveling the world. You should follow this guy if you're into the outdoors and beautiful scenery, Glenn Crowder. Some 4,000 followers on Facebook. That's pretty good. I'm getting just about to 40 myself, Glenn. Going to play catch up with you. Yep. So please share with me, how do you get paid?
Well, that's something that we've figured out between the boss and myself. And let me tell you, when you talk about economics, and I understand this show is all about money and things, it is expensive to travel Europe. There's no question. Now, I started, I'm on this 10-day track. I started in Megève. I started and rated a beautiful hotel right downtown. Mm. Moved on to Cormoyer. I had a beautiful old chalet that they turned into a hotel. It was just fantastic.
Nice.
So these are things that I look to, and just let people know when you're traveling, you don't have to stay at the Hiltons, all those ones. You really get ripped off in those places sometimes. So you stay at the smaller ones where it's a mom and pop operation. You'll get amazing service. You may not have the fancy stuff, but nevertheless, you'll have a great, comfortable night, and they welcome you, and it's a lot of fun. Then I went on to Chamonix. Fantastic hotel right downtown as well, so really enjoyed that. And then I've come over to Crans, Montana, in Switzerland, and I'm staying in an old chalet. And this is what they do. They organize it for you, and it's so cool. It's a beautiful old chalet, and it's huge. And the people that run it, there's a mother and a father, and the kids are working here too. So I just give a little tip. When if you do come to Europe, try to look for the smaller places. They're really cute places. I'm not talking B&Bs. I'm not talking those. These are just a little bit different. They are hotels and motels, but they're certainly worth the value for sure.
It's a lovely, lovely place to travel to, Europe, and the food is better. The people are just so interesting, and they really do appray well. True or false, Glenn, appray.
Wow.
Hey?
It's epic. Epic.
Isn't it?
It is.
We
epic.
Don't have a clue in North America about après. And we only give you a 1 ounce shot of booze if you order a mixed drink. It's a criminal. Hey, they know how to pour drinks over there in Europe. Oh, they do. And the vino
they
is
do.
So good.
And you don't tip over here, Wolf. You don't
I know.
Tip, you know. And I
how about tipping on tax? Hey? Oh, yeah. You get the machine, 22% plus tipping on that tax. Thanks for that.
Yeah. I know.
It's a scam. I feel guilty. I remember I was in Spain, and my wife and I went to a cafe, outdoor cafe, and these young fella served us so brilliantly well, and I went to pay him, give him a tip, and then credit card came, and I tapped and said, well, there's no button for tip, and he walked away, and you know, I felt so guilty, and I said, I'm sorry I never gave you a tip. He said, no problem, don't worry about it, it's no big deal, we don't expect any tip, you know, it's just a little extra if you haven't, no problem. Here, if you give them 15%, they snub their nose at you.
It's so true, and you know what I do? I do exactly, I take cash. I bring cash. Obviously, I have credit cards as well, but I'll bring cash just to throw it on the table. They never say no. They'll pick it up, and it's not an embarrassment for them, but nevertheless, I always make sure I've got enough cash on hand. I had a fantastic skier, instructor, a guide. He took me, he drove me around for a couple of days when we were over in Chamonix, and I'm not kidding. This guy was fantastic. He's on the French national ski team, so could he ski? Unbelievable.
Wow.
And I gave him a $50 tip at the end of it. He just nearly
oh my god
out of the
oh
gondola.
yeah. No, they just do things differently in Europe, and I'm gonna have to say for the most part better. So Glenn, how long have you been reporting on ski conditions? I guess at 4 or 5 decades.
We're going on probably 3 at least for sure. Back to the CFNY days, as you remember. That's something that we did for sure, and I enjoyed that. We've gone to another couple other stations and never really left it. And I, you know, we had a really good gig going back in the days. Well, The guys from Q107, myself, and some other stations, we all got together and had a lot of fun. We also had boats in the summer, so we did summer reports. On some of these boats, I had a 40-foot offshore race boat that literally went 100 miles an hour, 1,000 horsepower. So these guys, and finally all the bosses caught on and said, okay, you guys are having way too much fun on our dollar. So they took the boats away, so the summer reports were gone. I continued with the winter report, and it just ended up to be continuing on now for sure.
Yeah, they do eventually take the fun out of cool industries. It just unfortunately happens. I guess all the fun right now is in Silicon Valley or the land of tech or the land of AI. I remember they speaking about the Gen X generation who making statements that they never bathed and they were at work all the day and dirty clothes and, you know, disenfranchised. Well, look at where they are today. Things do change. Tell me something about business. Tourism is a big part of Canadian GDP. I say Canada, unfortunately, from a business point of view, doesn't do a lot of things well, but we do tourism well, and we have the Rocky Mountains, so we have some of the finest skiing in Canada, in the world, I shall say, out west. Different, of course, in Europe, but still some of the finest. It's been a tough season, and COVID, just coming out of COVID and finally getting a bit of a footing in their business, and to get hit with the bad snow conditions. What's your take from a business point of view?
Well, there's no question, and I'm in touch with all the tourism boards. I work with all the tourism boards around the world. They invite me here. They take care of me here. They get me set up with guides and things. And I'll just tell you that it's coming out. It's coming out in the sense that they're starting to see more and more people arriving in Europe, for sure. Now, I was at Kicking Horse about a month and a half ago.
Yeah, I saw that. Great ski resort. Yeah.
Yeah, we had some incredible snow. We had about a foot of powder in the 4 days that I was there. So, you know, the snow is coming. But here in Chamonix or in Switzerland, they had pouring rain 3 days ago, pouring rain.
Ooh.
To the point where it was just disgusting. It washed a lot of the snow away. Now, thank goodness, the night after, they had lots of snow come back. But nevertheless, it seems to be a way of the world, Wolf. I don't know what's going on.
No,
but,
global warming, that's what it is. And the other one is, again, sledding, right? Skidoos. And we, of course, make the finest skidoo in the world through our company, Bombardier. But yeah. I think sledding is hurting. Yeah. Any comment on that, Jack?
Well, absolutely. It's a seasonal, very tight season for sledding.
Very tight.
And I'm going to say the ice conditions are a big component of that. And
so
the ice isn't
lakes.
Even safe right
so
now.
So you can't go on the lakes. It's just the trails.
But even the trails go through swamps and the like. So
right.
It's just not a good season at all.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a tough one. And, I'm curious. Well, what's your take in terms of weather forecast, Glenn? Why not? We'll let you be the weatherman for about 12 seconds. yeah. You know, we got to sell this type of winter. What type of summer do you think we're going to have? And how's that going to affect tourism, both in Europe and in Canada?
Well, interesting you brought that up because they're saying now in Europe, it's getting to the point where the summers are almost busier than they are in the winters. Now, winter here in the main resorts like Crans, Montana, Switzerland, it's still very popular because in the winter because it's a destination. And I was talking to the guys out west and with Kicking Horse and all these places like Golden
BC.
They're even seeing more people coming out in the summer than they are coming out for the winter. Different demographics.
Yeah, well, Banff is like that. Banff is much busier in the summer than the winter, for sure.
Absolutely.
But Golden, BC, friends, if you haven't been to Golden, BC, what a beautiful, beautiful part of Canada. It really is. We live in such a beautiful country. I can't say I like the climate. I hate the taxation. But the landscape, it's spectacular. Glenn Crowder, you're spectacular. If you want to see Glenn pick up the Toronto Sun or tune into 640, spend some time with him. Just a great, great guy, great Canadian, and he'll help you ski better. Just tune in. I want to wish you a great weekend.
Great.
Thank you for all tuning in. Show About Money. If you have any questions for Jack or I, it's wolfgangklein.com or thewolfonbaystreet.com. Jack and I are here for you. No question too big, no question too small. We answer them all. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.